Pride Fest is here. That's right. St. Pete Pride is heading into its 21st year, and we are thrilled to welcome St. Pete Pride Executive Director Nicole Berman. Hello.
Hi.
So good to see you here today. I wanted to start with this. We have lots to talk about. Tiffany Friesberg, who is the president of St. Pete Pride, said this, and she said it in Watermark last December, about you. She is singularly driven by an unwavering commitment to equality and justice, and she is not afraid to ruffle feathers. Always professional, but never apologetic in her fight for LGBTQ plus rights. Nicole is the kind of advocate any community would be fortunate to have. That's the kind of thing you like to hear, Nicole?
It is the kind of thing. I think it's the kind of thing anybody in this role would like to hear. It certainly is indicative of what I hope to be and what I hope I'm doing. Interestingly enough, I like to or prefer to be behind the scenes. Like, I don't necessarily want to be the face or in front of everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes you wonder too, maybe do things go unnoticed when you aren't always in the spotlight, but it doesn't go unnoticed. And it's something that I appreciate very much from Tiffany and our board of directors, that they kind of see the inner workings of what happens in the office.
There's so much to juggle, I would imagine, you know, not just this month and the sort of lead up to it, but it goes on all year, doesn't it?
Yeah. So we have events. We partner with Grand Central District and the Edge District for Halloween on Central in October. We host our annual fundraiser, the Red and Green Gala, in December. This year we partnered with PFLAG for their youth prom in May, and then all of our events in June. So we do things quarterly, but planning for our June events takes 8 months. We start doing that in like November.
That's what I mean, a lot of people who do, you know, sort of big parade events, you know, St. Patrick's Day or what have you, will say, well, we take a day off after we finish and then we start thinking about the next one, you know. And so I wondered, it was pretty well, you get a couple of months there, but it does go on all year, doesn't it?
It does go on all year. We do take I personally take a couple weeks off in July, but as soon as we come back, we're, you know, we're reviewing the past season's events, trying to figure out how do we make it better for next year, and then we roll right into Halloween, and as soon as Halloween is done, we're already going for the next season.
Well, the event, as the world knows, it gets bigger and more inclusive every year, to the point where the St. Pete Pride Parade is now the largest in the state. Do I have that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So how many people did you have last year?
In attendance?
Yeah.
In attendance, we had about 200,000 folks.
Wow.
And we watched about, I think it was 175 different organizations with like 8,000 marchers. So the parade itself is very large. The attendance is very large.
What's the date of the parade this year?
24th.
Yes. Okay. And the Idina Menzel show is the 23rd. 23rd. So I'm glad you're here because I want to talk to you into getting me some free tickets to that. But we have lots to talk about. Listen, let me get this out of the way. Considering the Florida in which we now all live, which we seem to be living, you know, I imagine more than ever, it's a good feeling to know that your city has got your back.
It is. It's an incredible thing to know that the city, from the mayor himself and his office, right on down to everybody, sanitation, they all have a part in making our events possible. And they all show up. They all stand up with us. They all... I've had less than no pushback, nothing from anybody in the city. And it feels really wonderful to know that not only do they support us in word, but also in action.
Well, I don't want to really get into the push and pull, if you will, of the politics and stuff. I mean, Tampa Pride canceled its Pride on the River out of sort of fear and stuff. You're seeing a smooth month ahead.
Yeah, we've met with both the city, their legal team, our legal team, and we are in agreement with each other that Pride can happen in the confines of the law, and we can make it a celebratory event. We can make it a safe, inclusive space. And honestly, we can do a lot of the things that we have always done because we've always sort of operated within the confines of making sure that things are appropriate for all ages.
Sure.
It's something that we've always done. Our events have always been open air, open to the public. And we're always very conscious that we have young people and we want to make sure that we're abiding by any and all laws and regulations.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, leaving the sort of cloud of all that crap behind us here. This is, as we said, your second year. You came in last year. Can you take us through, you know, your background?
Sure.
And take us on the long and winding road, as it were, to how you got here.
Yeah.
And bring it, go from there to here.
Absolutely. So yeah. I am a New Englander by birth, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, born and raised. I worked for the YMCA for a very long time, decided I wanted to be a mental health counselor. So I worked with adolescents in a psychiatric facility for about 5 years, got my master's
my
degree.
My daughter is a mental health counselor who just got her master's.
Yep.
And she's working with young people.
Yeah, it's such an incredible job. Thank you so much for doing that. It's such a big need, and I learned a lot from it. At that time, I was also a military spouse, so I bounced around the country a little bit. I was in Virginia, I was in the Midwest, I was out west, and when the opportunity came that I could choose what I wanted to do, not based on location, like I could just pick anything that I wanted to do.
Right.
I knew I wanted to work for an LGBTQ organization. It's my community. I've always wanted to. I've been an executive director. I've worked for at like state level. I can't even think. My brain sometimes goes away, but I've worked at the state level, so I have a pretty vast like skill set.
Perhaps you worked at the meta state level. I don't, you know. What's next?
All of the things.
Yeah. Okay.
But a friend of mine who lived in St. Pete sent me this job when it was open a couple of years ago, and was basically like, I don't know what you're thinking about. I don't know if you like Florida's an option. I was in Washington State at the time. And I was like, you know what? I've always Tampa, St. Pete for my whole life since I was like 25.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, we're talking 20 years. I was like, I need to get down there. Never did. And this was kind of like the perfect pitch. It was ideal in every sense of
Like God or Shiva, whoever, somebody sort of reaching out and saying, this is it for you.
Yeah. Wow. And I put in the application, and I know in that article that you cited earlier, I think Tiffany may have mentioned that there was, I don't know how many applicants, there was a lot of applicants,
like 300 or something. Like that. Yeah. I remember that. Sure.
And so when they, you know, when they invited me down to do the interview, I was super excited. I came down, and then I went home and I told my now wife, I was like, I don't know. It felt good, but I don't know. You know, I would love it. And then I got the call where they offered me the position, and I put my little self in a car and drove 6 days across the country. I was literally in Canada, about as far as you could get. And here I am. And, you know, I started not just myself, but the majority of my board. We all started like the end of January 2022.
What kind of shape was St. Pete Pride in?
So
at that point,
it was 2020. Obviously, there was no Pride. Nothing had happened.
Yeah.
2021. The board
virtual.
The board ran like a truncated version. So that's how we got to this month long of programming. They did one event every weekend, and it was run by, I want to say, four or five board members. Don't quote me on the number, but no executive director. And that group of folks, they did all of the work, all of the things that I'm doing with, like, similarly, like not a lot of knowledge of what had happened. So when I got in 2022, they were really just looking for someone to continue what they had built in 2021, which was a more inclusive and intentionally inclusive Pride.
Right.
And that was part of the hook that got me here. So, you know, I show up, and basically I knew coming into it that there wasn't a lot of historical documentation. I knew coming into it that there wasn't going to be like a manual that says, this is how you do this. And as a testament really to the city and people who have worked with Pride in the past, was that's what made last season's events go on, is the city was like, you need to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And other partners have been like, you need to do, you know, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And all of that combined with having a full-time person on staff made our events happen last season. Yeah.
So there was a handbook though, A, B, C, D, all that stuff you just said, an alphabetical.
There was like, I had a lot of help, you know.
Okay.
I was a few weeks out from an event, and someone from the city was like, "You need to get this permit signed," and I was like, "Oh, well, thanks for letting me know." And so now, like this year, I did it much earlier.
Right. Why do you think? I think I know. I mean, I was born here. I left for a long time, but I've been back for about 8 years now. Why do you think this has become so big? I mean, in the state of Florida, I would think that Miami would have a bigger Pride parade, honestly.
Yeah, I mean...
even Orlando.
I mean, I understand the need for representation and visibility, and I think that there's a lot of beauty in that shared experience. So, you know, you understand when you come to a Pride celebration that you're around like-minded folks, people that don't care if you're gay, don't care if you're trans, don't care what you have on. They want you to be there and to celebrate and to feel, to share that like collective joy. Why it's so, I think, big in St. Pete, I can only say it's a testament to the city and to how very LGBTQ friendly it is. My first day here, I have never felt more welcome than anywhere in my life. And I've lived all over the country. And I think that there's something really special about St. Pete, you know, that is different than Miami, which is a much larger city, mm-hmm. which is different than Orlando that has like Disney as sort of as its focus. I think that that really makes it special here that they really are focused on our community and on there being opportunities available for them, for business owners, for nonprofit organizations to mm-hmm. sort of thrive here. And I was not here for Mayor Christman's administration, but everybody I know that has been here.
He used to walk in the parade.
Right,
I know that.
Speaks yeah. so highly of him and what he did for the LGBTQ plus community.
Good man. Hey, Rick, you're a good man.
Yes. And, yeah. you know, and I think that led really nicely into our relationship with Mayor Welch, who mm-hmm. that's the only mayor I have worked with or yeah. under. And I think that for me, you know, hearing, you know, how wonderful the city has been for St. Pete Pride, that has been like a seamless transition for us.
Can we talk about the events tonight? We're talking Friday, June 2nd, which is tonight, folks. Let's talk about what the kickoff event tonight.
We're really excited. We're calling it our first Fry Gay kickoff block party. We're going to be on the 22nd and 23rd blocks of Central Ave celebrating the start of Pride Month.
7 to 10 p.m., folks.
7 to 10 p.m. There's going to be a couple of DJs. We'll have some performances. And this event is really about bringing people down to the district. The bars on those two blocks will be doing all of the beverage preparation. So, you know, it's really about coming out, putting your dollars into those businesses, celebrating the start of Pride, and really having just a fun kickoff to the month.
The phrase you used a little while ago was collective joy.
Yes.
I think that was the phrase you used. I think I quoted you correctly. And I thought that was wonderful. Really, and that's what the way you're describing the kickoff party tonight. It's the community.
It is. It's the community.
Anybody who wants mm-hmm. you know, show up.
And really our smaller events outside of our main weekend, they're really mm-hmm. intended for people in and around St. Pete, Pinellas County, Tampa Bay. These events are for our community right here in town. We know that our parade brings in 100 to 150,000 people from out of Pinellas.
Yeah.
Like people come in from all over. But these smaller ones, they're really for the folks that live here all year round, work here all year round. And it's just, you know, our hope that we're going to do right by the community and give everybody an opportunity to celebrate.
Well, the community on June 10th, which is my wife's birthday, hi, Amy, gets to get nude. And tell me about this one. It's Savant on 2nd, so I don't know anything about this.
So Get Nude, Drippin' in Melanin is our partnership with Tampa Bay Black Lesbians. And so Tamara Lee, who is one of their co-founders, came to us and said, hey, look, you know, she has been instrumental in sort of us moving to be more inclusive. And she said, listen, we need to start doing more events that are focused on different subsets of the population, specifically subsets that Pride has historically left out. In this case, it's Black and Brown queer femmes. So we joined together last season to do a party. It was at Red Mesa last year. It was sold out, went so fantastic. Wow. So we are moving to Savant on 2nd, which is a slightly larger venue. But the Get Nude is around sort of the color theme for
nudes
the
and
party.
Earth tones. Yes. I'm seeing it here.
Yeah. So dressing in, you know, those sort of colors. But it's a really fantastic event. And again, it's another opportunity for collective joy of Black and Brown queer femmes. Everybody is welcome, but that is the focus of the event. It is tailored to what they would like to see at an event.
That's something that you're developing, as you were just saying, that some of the, what would you like to see? You would ask people, well, more specific subsets?
Subsets,
or,
yeah.
You know, does that work? Subsets?
Just, you know, different parts of our community.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Similarly, our Shades of Pride Festival, which is our LGBTQ Juneteenth celebration, which is June 17th at the Factory. Mm-hmm. It's been created by local Black queer individuals. They have come together as a committee. They don't have any affiliation with Pride. They're only really helping plan this event to make sure that it is true to what the community would like to see. And specifically, like the Black queer community, it's things that talk about their experiences, specifically as like a Black LGBTQ person. There's a legendary trans panel, which I believe is all Black trans women. I'm not sure. But it's all people of color trans women. There is a ballroom extravaganza, which is really big in the Black queer community. There's a poetry slam. There's a live broadcast of a podcast. T.S. Madison is hosting this event. She was here last year and is coming mm-hmm. back for a second season. So like Get Nude, like Shades, and like our Transtastic events, we go out into the community to bring people in to help, to make sure that we're doing right by the community. You know, I'm a 40-something white person. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what a black experience is like. So they let me plan the parade and I plan the street carnival because that's kind of like, I don't call it generic, but like there's already a footprint for how to do that.
That's your little centerpiece. Yeah. And we know how that works.
We know how that works. Sure. So, and part of what, part of going to this like 10 events over the course of the month was how important it was for us to bring the community in because St. Pete Pride is the community's.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. Talk to me about the Youth Pride and Family Day at North Straw Park, which is also on the 10th. Yeah. 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, the 10th is a big day for us.
Yeah.
So the LGBTQ Youth Pride and Family Day at North Straw Park from 10 to 2. It's really focused on, it's just family fun. There's a lot of like really fun programming. You can hug a skunk. The skunk rescue comes out. You can.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
It's so much fun. You can touch a fire truck. St. Pete Fire is there. The Lightning Community Team is there and you can play hockey out in the street.
You can anybody is from welcome. whatever side of the world
Absolutely.
You're on. Yeah, that's what's so cool
if
about
you think,
this.
If you think like tie-dyeing a shirt might be fun or, you know, reading a book with the Pinellas County Library team. Like if that stuff sounds interesting to you, yes, come on out. We have, I believe, about 70 local vendors that will also be there. So it also doubles as, you know, another opportunity for a marketplace for people.
But oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really great deal. The bubble guy is there.
The
bubbles are very popular.
And you get to hug a skunk.
You do.
I mean, how cool is that? What's next on our fabulous list? The Shades of Pride. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And this is, I'm flipping through the website rather clumsily here. June 17th. Shades of Pride Festival. Tell us about this. This is the one you were talking about with Tess Madison. Okay.
Yep. That's over at the factory.
At the factory. Yeah.
And that is.
I remember this from last year.
Yes. Yep. So this will be our third season with Shades of Pride. I believe it's like a 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. event. And there's so many great things happening. What I love about it is it's programmed out. So you can come for, if you want to see like the King Jai's live show, you can come do that. You can come from the ballroom part. There's an after party.
An 8-hour event.
It is an 8-hour event. You don't have to stay for 8 hours, but we'll have enough to do if you'd like to.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of broken up into different things.
Yeah.
This is the one with the poetry slam. That's right.
Yeah.
What does legendary trans panel mean?
So that is a group of legendary trans women who are going to come down. It is hosted by T.S. Madison, and it's an interactive panel. So the audience asks them questions, they share their experience, and it's just an opportunity for us to hear from the black trans women about their experience.
What
to
a beautiful
learn.
Thing.
It's wonderful.
It really is. Tell me about the Stonewall reception at the James Museum.
Yeah, so the Stonewall reception is our annual sponsor reception and the point and purpose of it is to pay our remembrance to Stonewall, which was, you know, the event that kicked off Pride's.
Of course.
Yeah. That, you know, when it all started. So we have speakers that come out and it's just a nice sort of, it's just a nice event to just come mix and mingle and meet
other
people.
It's a big ticket event too.
It is a big ticket event.
I'm looking at the price here, folks. It's the 21st, by the way, if you're interested.
This is the opportunity to sort of mix and mingle with other people who financially support Pride.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, it's not me. I'll send you $5 or $10, but, you know, I support it 100%. You know, you can go to stpetepride.org and look under the events page and find out all about these events. And there are a few more. We're even getting to the big ones here in a few minutes. The Friday night concert. John Travolta can't pronounce her name, but that's okay because I am the world's biggest Rent fan. And Idina Menzel is going to be at Janice Live on the 23rd of June. And this is the Friday night concert before the big day.
Yes.
How did you get her to do this?
It's a stroke of genius, I think. So our board president, Tiffany, managed to, and I don't know what kind of like voodoo magic she worked, but she was in conversations with Idina's team. And one of the things that we were super excited about was the show that Idina was pitching included local drag performers.
Oh.
And so that was kind of where we were like, yeah, Idina Menzel, like duh. But she's incorporating 6 of our local drag performers into her show. So that Friday night, we have such an amazing lineup. Queen Sheba is leading it off. DJ Yoki is, our DJ for the event. Angelique Young Cavalier is the host, but also a performer. And then we have Brianna Summers, Ashley Banks, our Royal Court, and then Angelique, who are going to be performing with Idina. So it's just going to be a very don't feel, it's star studded. Like, it's just, it feels really, really exciting to be able to have her.
You know, I mean, I sort of remember thinking, well, okay, they get, you know, they get like national headliners and it's like, well, people I've maybe heard of and stuff. She's incredible.
Yeah.
She's incredible. I've been waiting for her to come here for years.
She's here.
So you got to help me get tickets there, Nicole.
I know somebody.
Okay. We got to work on that one. Which brings us to the fabulous 24th, which is the St. Pete Pride Parade and Festival, Vinoy Nordstrand Park. Take us through this. This is the big day. It's 2 to 10. It's a long, another eight-hour day, but it's the big day.
So this is my favorite event. It takes the most work, but it has, I think, the biggest payoff. So from 2 to 10, you can join in our festival in both Nordstrand and Vinoy Parks. Nordstrand holds our food vendors, our local vendors, sponsors, VIP seating, the glam stands that we call them, for the parade, and then our local community stage. And then over in Vinoy is going to be our main stage where we'll have music playing from 2 until 10. There's some VIP seating over in that area as well and some food. And it's, again, the festival itself is really just an opportunity to come out, to be amongst family, to celebrate. And there's a lot of people there, right? There's 100, 150,000 people, and the majority of them show up for that parade.
This and the next day feel sort of like the cornerstone.
They are the original events that have been around for the longest.
So there's live. Is there live music as well, or is this sort of DJs all
day? So there's a combination, and I don't know off the top of my head who all of the performers are. I do know our headliners. But so from 2 to 10, there is live music, and our headliners this season are Malaysia Baby Doll Fox and Meet Me at the Altar. And then at 6 p.m. our parade kicks off. And this year, for everybody listening, it is running backwards. So we're starting at Albert Wittard and running north.
Got that.
To Vinoy. But similarly to last season, we have 170 parade entries. Again, about 5,000 to 7,000 individuals marching in the parade. And that will run from 6 to 8:30-ish. Wow. But the parade is always so great. It's full of a lot of people who support our community, are in our community. And one of the coolest things I think about our parade is that people, they get to say what they want to say. They can carry their signs. They can come dressed in whatever feels like right for them. And it's just an opportunity to showcase everything that is so great about our community.
Yeah. And it's the most magnificent thing, you know, from what I've seen. And I hope this year we get to come down there. I'm a little frightened of crowds in general,
and
there's a mass of people, but it looks so fantastic. Let's talk about Sunday, which is the street fair, which is about 8 or 9 blocks of Central Avenue, closed off for 5 hours for a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, so it's 8 blocks of Central closed off. We have over 300 local vendors and community organizations that show up, and this is predominantly an opportunity for our attendees to engage with our vendors, the people who support us, the people who show up at all of our events. And it's a really nice opportunity. And what I've heard from vendors is our attendees do put their dollars back into the pockets of these businesses, which is what we love to see. There's also roving entertainment. So like stilt walkers, jugglers, stuff like that happening on the street. And we are partnering this season with Cocktail. So they have their stage on 23rd.
Sheena Easton
and Tiffany.
And Tiffany.
Yes. And there's another YouTuber sensation, and I just don't know the name off the top of my head. I'm so
Mystery
sorry.
Guest. I like
yes.
that.
So Cocktail is a really great partner with us, and they put a lot of time, energy, and dollars into like programming the stage. So we're super excited for Tiffany. That was the first concert I ever went to. My dad took me.
Was it in a mall somewhere? She used to do shopping malls?
It was New Kids on the Block opened for her. it was like a full-on concert, and every day I'm like, I don't know how my dad did it with a bunch of screaming. Like,
you gotta tell her that.
Boppers.
When my daughter, who is the mental health counselor, when she was about 7, I took her to see the Backstreet Boys. and also, you really want to know this, don't you, folks? We also went to see the Spice Girls in Orlando, like
that's
the one time
right
they
there.
Toured. I enjoyed it, and we saw Justin Timberlake a few years later, who's really great, and that was a great show. And we saw Destiny's Child, et cetera, et cetera. But Tiffany was your first show. Let me throw this back to you.
So Sunday street, Sunday 12 to 5, you just come on down, take a stroll, hop into a local establishment, get a drink. It's just a really, like, laid back, laid back day and a great way to support a lot of local businesses and organizations.
So great. The city will stop traffic for you. And
I don't know how much they like doing it, but they do.
They are doing it, aren't they, Nicole?
Interestingly enough, they stop traffic, but there's also a Rays game. Another reason why I appreciate the city so much is we understand the stress that we put on different parts of like city business when we do stuff. But yeah, no, they're great. They close off the 9 blocks. They come down, they sweep the streets afterwards. They above and beyond.
They could take a little time out of that raise money thing. How good. There's one last event, which is called Transtastic at the Museum of Fine Arts, St. Petersburg on the 28th.
Yeah, there's actually two last events. One like flips onto another page of our website because we have so many. But yeah, so
you guys are way ahead of me.
So yeah, Transtastic on the 28th. So similarly to the other events where we have when we bring in members of the community, we have a great team of local trans folks that help us plan out our events. And this is a really great night for the trans community to come out and celebrate with each other. Again, share their collective joy and experiences. We have speakers, artists, musicians. It's a really great time.
Oh, we're talking about Queerioki. I did forget about that. I got to flip to the page, folks. Queerioki with Carson Kressley, I think, right? Yes. And this is on the 30th. Tell us more.
Yes. So Queerioki is wrapping up our Pride Month this season. Carson Kressley is coming back. He hosted it last year for us, our first season. And basically what it is, it's a big gay sing-along. So if you've ever been to the Palladium, it's a theater. There's a stage up in front. Carson and our artists sit up there and they kind of chat. They have some nice like funny commentary.
Hey, I'm straight, but we have big gay sing-alongs at my house.
We love
too.
Them. Yeah, sure. And then they get up and sing. And while they're singing, the lyrics are projected on a screen behind them. Yeah. So the audience sings along.
That's
and
cool.
It was one of my favorite events last season. It's just funny. It's just fun.
At the Palladium, June 30th. Is this the closing event of the month?
That is our closing event.
Pretty much
event.
The end That's of the it. Month. My God. And again, you can find out more, and even more at stpetepride.org. There's an event listing there, all kinds of details. St. Pete Pride 2023 is now in full motion. You guys raised the flag yesterday down at City Hall. And juggling all of this stuff with, you know, the community and your staff and your volunteers and the talent and, you know, and frankly, in the politics and all this stuff, it's just like keeping a lot of eggs in the air.
We have three paid employees at Pride, myself and two part-time folks. One is our office manager. One is our finance director. Mm-hmm. And I am incredibly, incredibly blessed to have those two folks on my team and my 13 board members. Without the board members, nothing would happen. Nothing would be possible. And we have Kyle Williams is our volunteer. He's our volunteer coordinator from our board. And so those 300-500 volunteers in that my board are volunteers. So when we say volunteers, we're looking at this collective group of people. And honestly, without them, nothing would happen. Not a single solitary thing would happen.
Nicole, are you at every event yourself?
Yes.
Yes.
Every single one. And I'm sober at every single one, too.
Her eyes just went up.
And that's my responsibility as the paid employee that, you know, we show up at every single one. But, you know, like I said, there's wouldn't happen without our volunteers, including my board of directors. I can't imagine what this would have looked like without them last season or this season. I mean, they do everything. You know, I have someone, one of our board members, chairs the entertainment committee. So she does all the entertainment stuff, does all the run of shows. Our volunteer coordinator manages all the volunteers. I have someone that does vendor management for us. And then each of our board members sort of selects an event that they help lead, whether it's creating it with the community or they're like the person in charge day of, so that not everything falls on me. Yeah. And that support is really, it's paramount to what we're doing. I don't think in a nonprofit you can really truly be effective if you don't have a really solid board behind you. And this group is, they're great. Their hearts are in it. They show up at, I mean, they're, they, most of them attend almost every event as well when, you know, and a lot of them work. I mean, they'll be there parade day with me 8 a.m. till midnight looking at me going, what were we thinking? And I'm like, I know.
What were we thinking?
We have to be back tomorrow. But yeah, there are always a lot of balls in the air, but they're great. And honestly, I have a great support team at home too. So you really need it to do this kind of work.
Nicole Berman, the executive director of St. Pete Pride. We've been here talking about this month's events all over St. Petersburg, all kinds of amazing stuff. Thank you, Nicole,
for joining
us here. And again, folks, find more and more, and as I said before, even more at stpetepride.org. Nicole, we'll see you. I'll talk to you at the end of the month and see if you're still standing up.
Awesome. Look forward to it.